BP has figured out a way to cheap out their operations. And you have to, you know, one way to look at it is BP has massively increased their production in the riskiest areas in the world, that is in Alaska, in mile deep water in the Gulf. They're increasing their production, and yet they have dropped their production cost by $1 billion a year. You can't do that. Obviously, they're drilling more. So where do you cut? If you're drilling more in riskier areas, you're spending it all on the drilling equipment and not on the safety equipment. So you're cutting safety equipment. You're cutting manned crews. Obviously, we see in the Gulf that you didn't have the 24-hour spill response teams that were properly equipped. We know that because we saw that. And, you know, BP, again, promised this stuff. It's not just that they were dumb and didn't do it right. Yes, everyone's blaming the government. Well, you have to understand, in the end, the government has to rely on the oil companies to say that they have the equipment, the manning, and the ability to handle a projected catastrophe. And BP swore in writing that they could handle a blowout as big as the Deepwater Horizon blowout.
In your piece, you also say that whistleblowers don't fare very well at BP. Who are some of the BP employees, or former employees, I should say, who suffered retaliation, perhaps, after attempting to expose poor practices?
Well, there was Captain James Woodall, who was in charge of the BP's Valdez port operation. Well, he was blackmailed into resigning when he was complaining about safety conditions there because they waved a file at him that said that they could prove that he was having an affair with the secretary. It was complete fake, but they forced him to resign. One of the more nasty ones was there was a whistleblower that is an oil drilling partner of BP's named Chuck Hamill. And Hamill complained to BP. In fact, he even told me that he actually took the Concorde to London so he could tell BP executives that there was a terrible emergency situation at Valdez in Alaska. And instead of saying, "Wow, thanks, Chuck, for this information, we'll get right on it," instead they tapped his phones, including calls with U.S. congressmen, ran surveillance operations on him, hiring old CIA operatives. They ran a smear campaign against him, making up all kinds of stuff. They actually broke into his house. And when they were caught, a U.S. federal judge said BP's acts were, and I'm quoting, but the judge, reminiscent of Nazi Germany. That's what BP does. Here the guy spent a fortune and really thought he was going to warn BP executives that they'd be grateful that they were being told about unsafe conditions. Instead, they did everything to destroy this guy. That's how they operate with whistleblowers. And one after another, I've just seen, you know, I could go on for an hour with the whistleblowers, you know, including, like Inspector Dan Law. He's not a whistleblower. He's one of the government inspectors, a courageous government inspector. I say courageous because BP's demanded that the inspector be fired. Here's a guy who's warned us again and again that BP's pipelines, that the Trans-Alaska pipeline is corroded. He warned us before the Exxon Valdez spill that they did not have proper equipment ready to go in the Prince William Sound. This guy has been right again and again, warning about BP's culture of neglect, and all BP wanted to do was get him fired. In fact, so they used political pressure. He was fired, and then his union lawyers fought to get him reinstated. And he's still talking about the corrosion in the pipeline, you know, and BP is, you know, obviously doesn't want to spend the money that it takes to, in effect, rebuild the Alaska pipeline.
So you write that BP is deeply involved in our democracy. What do you mean by that?
Well, and it's going to get deeper. They're involved in our democracy. Depends how you feel about it. But Bob Malone, who is chairman of BP America, Malone was also co-chair of the Alaska State Reelect George Bush campaign. You know, so, you know, here we have this foreign company involved in our political process deeply. Now, Malone is an American citizen, and up till now, while BP has put a lot of money into our campaigns, it's only gathered that money from U.S. citizens. However, under the recent Supreme Court ruling, British Petroleum in London, as well as Shell Oil of London and Amsterdam, can put in endless amounts of money into our political campaigns because as through their U.S. corporate entities. So we're going to see massive, massive lobbying and spending by British Petroleum. You can count on this, which was, until a few months ago, illegal. So they've already been, kind of manipulating the political process or influencing it. I won't say it's been illegal because they've done it through their U.S. citizens on their payroll. They also have hired guys like Tony Podesta, who was President Clinton's chief of staff as a lobbyist. They've hired, they've just hired all these politically connected people, and despite their claims that they are going to pay all legitimate claims, they're going to clean up their act, they're in Washington right now doing everything they can to prevent that and prevent a sharpening of the regulations.